Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
If you have a Bible, you can turn there to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, the text I have is very simple. Really talks about the birth of Jesus Christ. I just want to read begin in verse 18, and read through verse 23. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Christmas is kind of a big deal. And you don't have to be a Christian to make a big deal out of Christmas. Everyone loves Christmas. I mean, look at our sanctuary. This is amazing, isn't it? And you drive down the streets of a lot of small towns, and they're putting garland around all the poles. It's just a different season from Thanksgiving until January, or in the case of my wife, March or April. It's Christmas. And a lot of others, too. Not because she's lazy, because she's hanging on to every last thread of Christmas, because it's a fun time and it's a special time. And it's all about, we know as Christians, Jesus' birth. A lot of people know that Christmas is about Jesus' birth. And Jesus came for a purpose. And I think that, and I'll just tell you, to share this with you, one of the burdens on my heart hasn't been so much just to make sure the gospel is clear. And I want to make sure the gospel is clear. But the burden that I have on my heart is for so many people who have heard that over and over and over and over again, and yet it still hasn't really penetrated them. That's what concerns me as a pastor. And I just, in the song, and they were singing about Emmanuel, and it said, "And all creation stands in awe." And I think to myself, so many of us are indifferent. We're indifferent to, and I'm speaking to my own heart as well. We just go on with our usual business. Christmas comes, we have our traditions, we sing our songs, we stand up and down 100 times, and we do all of those sorts of things. And then we go home, and we go to bed, and we wake up, and we eat breakfast, and this, that, and the other thing. And we don't take time to really ponder why Christ came. And yet the angel told Joseph why Jesus came. He came for one purpose. He came to save people from sin. That's what it says there in verse 21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." That's why Jesus came. Now, I said to the church on Sunday, yesterday, I said, the church has one message. We have one message. And that message is Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. That's our message. And if you're not interested in that message, then you're not going to be interested in what the church has for you. Because that's our message. It's Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. That's why he came. Jesus came to save sinners. And I wonder why so many people are so interested in Jesus that don't seem to be interested in the fact that he came to save sinners. But that's why he came. The Apostle Paul affirms that in 1 Timothy 1:15. He says, this is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to what? To save sinners. Now, if sin is a concept you're unfamiliar with, it's very simple. Sin is a violation of God's law. God is the creator of the universe. He is the creator of me and the creator of you. And he didn't create you so that you could figure life out on your own. He created you to worship him, to follow him. And we've all gone astray. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We've rebelled against our God. And the proof of that rebellion is death. That is the result. And that is why everyone dies. 10 out of 10 people die. And we get too used to that as if it's no big deal. 10 out of 10 people die, right? The only two sure things are death and taxes. You've heard that before. But it's become so common to us that we forget how terrible that is. And we don't want to think about why it exists. And not only do we die physically, but all of us will face God's judgment for our sins. Every single soul in this sanctuary and every single soul born into this world will face God on Judgment Day and give an account for their life. And God's standard is perfection. That is his expectation. We've rebelled against God. The Bible says it's appointed for man to die once and then the judgment. We will all face God's condemnation. And if God finds sin in us, the Bible is very clear about what happens to us. And I know these are not wonderful, special Christmassy type messages. But oh, let me tell you, this is a very Christmas message. Because the Bible is very clear what will happen to us. We will face God's wrath for eternity. This is bad news. And this is also why Christmas is such a big deal. All die because all sin. We have a sin problem. And apart from what Christmas gives this world, there are really only two options that a person has in regards to their sin. The first option is you can ignore it. You can pretend it doesn't exist. This is what most people do, I believe. You just live your life as if sin's not that big of a deal. You kind of come up with your own concept of morality. You figure out what you want to do to be a good person. You know, you're not a terrible criminal, so you're okay with God. You don't pay much attention to it. You're indifferent to it. And I'll just say that, sadly, this is how many professing Christians treat sin. That's one option. And if you are interested in God, what you really want to know is, what does God have for you? How can God improve your life? How can God make you happier? How can God increase your comfort and give you a sense of purpose and belonging? Because isn't that what God is all about? That's the real interest in God for those who really don't care about sin. They have no conviction. The other option that you have is you perhaps recognize that there is a moral God you're accountable to. Maybe you're in agreement. It's obvious to you that there is a God who has created you. And what you want to do instead is make up for it. You know, most religions have a system in place in which you can earn God's favor. And the great thing about this system is you get to make the rules, right? Or at least follow somebody else's rules that you approve of. And this is really true for every major religious system. You could summarize the approach of every religion in regards to sin in one of these two ways. They try to make up for it through their works, or they just pretend that it doesn't exist. And those really are the only options that you have. And while we all have sin, that much is clear from the scriptures. You can ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. You can say, well, I don't care what you say, Jake, because I go to church every day. I mean, I've done all these different things. I'm here tonight, aren't I? So I'm good with God. I mean, those are your two approaches, but neither one of those will work. Because you can't get rid of sin through self-deception. And you can't get rid of sin by earning God's favor. But those really are your only two options without Christmas. That's why the birth of Jesus Christ is good news of great joy. Because he came to save his people from their sins. And Acts 4:12 makes it very clear. clear. Jesus is the only Savior. There is no hope for any person in this world apart from Jesus. He is the only Savior. And I just have to ask you the same question I want to ask myself during this Christmas season. Is that good news for you? Are you able to sit in your seat where you are right now and just sigh a sigh of relief because Jesus has come? Is that who Jesus is for you? Because his mission wasn't just to be born, his mission was to die. He was born, as he said in Mark 10:45, to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to take upon himself the wrath of God on our behalf so that we could be saved. That is why he came. That is the reason for Christmas. And what God does in the person of Jesus Christ is he fulfills his design for salvation. Not by telling us to minimize sin, not by telling us we now can have life and purpose and feel really good about ourselves, but by telling us the good news of great joy, and that is, guess what? God has sent a Savior to you for your sin. Sin's taken care of if you trust in Christ. Because that is why he came. And his promise to every person is that if you would turn from the sin that condemns you and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will save you from your sin. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is the crown jewel of the Christian life. That is the message of the church. It is Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. There are many other things that happen as a result of walking with God and knowing God and loving God, and we understand all that. But first and foremost, you have to have it in your minds that what you need is forgiveness for your sins. See, the penalty you and I deserve for sin, Jesus endures for us. He had to become a man to live the life that we could not live and die the death that we deserve so that we could be free from sin and reconciled to our Heavenly Father who loves us. It's an amazing thing what God has begun in Christ. He redeems individual souls. He places within them his Holy Spirit who causes them to walk in truth and to love God. And really, this world is passing away. I say this all the time. I just want to make this clear. I know many of you are here. You're not here every Sunday. Maybe hear me once a year, or perhaps this is your first time here. I just want to make this clear. As long as you're here and I have your attention, there is nothing for you in this world. This world is corrupt and it is fading away. And the only hope that any of us have is in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is making all things new. And to give you just a little bit of taste, the salvation that God gives us through Christ for our sins, that is just the beginning of what God is doing through Christ. It's just the beginning. And I say that in case you're glibly sitting here nodding your heads up and down saying, I'm good because I believe in Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him? Is Christ precious to you? Is he precious? Or is he a box that you've checked off as you move on with your life? And do all of the things that people do during the Christmas season. And you get busy in life. When Christ says, I am the resurrection and the what? The life. See, what our Savior says to us, and this is my message to all of you who have put your faith in Christ, Seek the things which are above, where Christ is. Because Christ is your life. Oh, I praise God for Christmas. Amen. I praise God for Christmas. He has come to save us from our sin, to save us from the mess of this world. And he invites us all to leave our life of sin, to turn from all that dishonors him, and to come to him for salvation. And so I just say this, do not leave here tonight until you are sure that Christ has forgiven you. And it's very simple. You don't have to have this special feeling or anything like that. You just have to believe that you are a sinner in need of salvation and that Jesus Christ gives you what you need in order to be saved. That the work that you need to be holy before God, Jesus has done for you. I love what Charles Spurgeon told his congregation at the end of one of his many, many, many evangelistic sermons. He said, go home tonight, and I give you this advice as well. He said, go home tonight, and if you are not trusting in Jesus Christ, if you do not believe that Christ has saved you from your sin, write down on a piece of paper, condemned. But if you can confidently say, if you believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven you, it's not a feeling, but you just trust in what Christ has done. You've heard the gospel. You believe that there's no hope for you apart from Christ. You believe that if God were to judge you, you would be condemned, but you're trusting that Jesus Christ has done all that's needed for you. If you're putting your full hope in Jesus Christ and what he has done for you, if that is who you are, then write down forgiven. Because that's who you are. Not because of what you do, not even because of how you feel, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now we're going to take communion this evening. And what communion is an illustration of the gospel. Right? We eat the body of Christ, which was sacrificed for us. We drink the blood of Christ, which was poured out for us. Communion is an opportunity for us in our own minds to rehearse the gospel. And the reason we take it together as Christians is because we are together. We are a family. We are a part of the family of God. The Bible says we are one body in him. That's why you don't take communion by yourself. I tried it once because I missed church the day they were taking communion. It was kind of weird. It's something we're supposed to do together as Christians, to remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us. And so I would invite you to take communion with us. I'll have some more comments on that. But for now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ and for reminding us what Christmas is all about there in Matthew 1. He came to save his people from their sin. Oh, Lord, we need it. God, there's no hope for us apart from Christ. And I pray that every person in this room would be trusting in Jesus Christ, not trusting in something somebody told them, not trusting in their church attendance record, not trusting in their own efforts in any way, but trusting in Jesus Christ, who is our life. In Jesus' name, amen.